One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the instant match reaction. I'm joined by Will Hall of LFC Focus as Liverpool booked their place in the last 16 of the Champions League. Will, we won 1-0. Yeah. We could very nearly have drawn 1-1. We should have won about 5-0.
Yeah, it was... The one thing that was sticking through my mind the whole way through the game when I was thinking about how many chances we were missing is just all this is doing is keeping them under the cosh.
Yeah.
Because they could barely get out of their halves at times from the amount of tackles our midfield was putting in, the amount of times we were countering. They were just getting exhausted by it. And it was killing their attack as well because they were having to constantly track back. They were having to try and screen those areas that Liverpool were trying to get into. And in the end, it just exhausted them. I mean, we were sweating all the way through the end of the game, but they looked knackered at the end.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think one of those games where we were the better team, I think, from pretty much start to finish. They had a couple of little moments, you know, to be fair, because they're a good team. But we showed our superiority. That, for me, was almost a hybrid performance of some of the best stuff that we saw last season in terms of how we approach pressing on the front foot, causing them problems, high tempo, but also in terms of the game intelligence, just in terms of how we kept the ball at times. We dictated the tempo of that game.
It never really felt like Liverpool were out of control all the way through the game, and that's a credit to every single player on the pitch. None of the players ever really lost a handle on the game. Like I said, the midfield were fantastic, but also the centre backs as well, and the full backs. I think Andy Robertson was absolutely phenomenal as well.
Absolutely.
But they always made the right decisions. I think the only time the decision making was poor was when we got into that final third, and that's why we probably should have won the game 5-0. But apart from that, they got everything spot on tonight.
And to be fair, even decision making, like, I mean, Sadio Mane, it's baffling how he's not come out with at least a couple of goals on the day. He has one, doesn't he, disallowed first half for offside, which I can't comment on because it was too far away. And he has two glaring opportunities in that second half. The one where it's squared across to him and he's hit the target and you've scored there. Like, I can get missing the one-on-one very, very late on because you can miss one-on-ones, but it was so frustrating because we deserved that game to be more comfortable than it was. Like, we didn't need it to be, and it would have been... I mean, I'm glad we can say this without having to jump down his throat, but if if Alisson doesn't make that save in the last minute, if he doesn't make that save, they score, and this is all Sadio Mane's fault because of the amount of chances he's missed.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, we just... I don't want to say we got away with one tonight, but it just felt like Sadio Mane... I think the good thing about Sadio Mane, and I was saying this to a couple of people after the game, is even when he doesn't always score, even when he's not, you know, putting away his chances, he still plays well.
Yeah.
He still gets into the right positions. He's still an absolute nightmare for their defenders. Yeah. Like, they weren't dealing with him well at all, and he was getting into threatening positions, and sometimes he was laying the ball off to people as well and creating chances. Yeah. So even when his performance is poor in terms of his finishing, he's still an important player for Liverpool to have, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. We were so good. It feels churlish because, you know, I'm saying we've just booked our place in the next round of the Champions, in the knockouts, which was mission accomplished as far as I'm concerned from this group. Because, look, we were sensational last season, but the quality of that group is far greater than what we had to face last year. So, you know, to be able to get out of that group, at the expense of Napoli, and obviously with PSG have gone through as well, haven't they? Bloody good teams. And it feels churlish to complain that we didn't go through by more goals, but, you know, when ultimately we just need to get out. But let's talk about the good things on the day. You mentioned Andy Robertson. I run out of superlatives for a little angry Scot. I just don't think these Italian lads, and they're playing in Serie A, and they're playing this, you know, against all these world-class defenders, you know, a culture of defensive football, and they must be looking at Andy Robertson going, what is this? What is this? The guy is made of something else, and I don't know what that material is, but if you could distill it down and sell it, it would sell more than Coca-Cola and crack cocaine combined.
Iron Brew.
Oh, wait, hang on. No, you're right. They already sell it. It's called Iron Brew. No, phenomenal.
But I think the amazing thing about Andy Robbo is after all these games, every time I've been around here after the ground and you do all the like fan camps and everything, you always talk about what player does everyone want to talk about? It's always Andy Robertson. Everyone's always like, he had an amazing game, yeah. Man of the match, 8 out of 10 performance. I think it's about time we just accepted he's incredible every game.
Well,
phenomenal footballer.
I don't want, there's a number, getting that way with a number of our players, aren't yeah. we, where you're like, are we going to stand here again and talk about the Bruins, this player? Yes, I am. Because we have had some dog shit footballers over the years who weren't fit to wear the shirt. We're signing these lads and they're coming in. And you know, when was the last, you know, good Scots? We've been laughing at Scottish footballers for the last 20 years and now we've got another one who's absolutely incredible. The midfield, Will, when it was announced that it was rumoured that it was going to be Henderson, Wijnaldum and Milner, inevitably, the reaction wasn't one of absolute cheer and celebration. Now, look, I will admit, I don't get the people losing their heads over it. I don't at all. But I did look at it and think, I felt like maybe Fabinho might have been the option. I was so wrong. And everyone who thought that midfield had a problem was so wrong. The midfield was magnificent tonight.
I think the thing with that midfield is sometimes it is the wrong midfield to choose. And we've seen that in some games where it feels too flat. It feels too workmanlike. There's no connection with the attack. But nights like those, it is absolutely made for. We saw that last season in the Champions League, the game against Roma in the 5-2. After Oxlade-Chamberlain goes on and Wijnaldum goes off and Wijnaldum comes on, uh-huh. It was that midfield. And they're perfect for that kind of situation because they are so strong, they snap into tackles, they press, and when they actually need to, when the game demands it, and when importantly the crowd demands it, they do get involved with the attack. Even Henderson, who's so chastised for not getting involved with the players going forward, he was coming close to the box, he was playing passes, he was driving with the ball like we've seen players like Naby Keita do.
Yeah, I think Jordan Henderson's got a lot of people who are detractors to his style of football and him as a person, whatever, for whatever reason, and I'm not going to get into that now, but I cannot fathom anyone who's watched that performance from Henderson, particularly the second half, and doesn't see him as, at the very least, a perfectly fine footballer to be in and around Liverpool's squad. And it's always going to be coloured by the armband thing, but did he ever shirk a challenge? Did he ever give up on anything? He was winning stuff. He was cutting passes out. He was getting on the front foot. He was forcing the play when he needed to. It's not right to just single him out. James Milner was exactly the same. Excellent. Genie Wijnaldum, excellent. Genie Wijnaldum was coming off the pitch and James Milner got injured and had to go off. Wijnaldum was done and there was a little 30 seconds where he didn't quite track a man back. And then after that, he redoubled and like it's right at the end of the game. He has the ball in the midfield and there's not a counter-attack on. And he goes one way and he holds it and he goes back the other way. And he just kills the game off because he's amazing.
That little dribble he has during stoppage time where he runs across the centre of the pitch.
Yes.
And it's just, you're thinking either send it back, send it forward, go to the corner. But he's just so confident in his own ability. Yep. And I think that's what's so great about this Liverpool team at the moment. And it's what we mean when we talk about game management. They believe they can see this game out. Mm-hmm. They don't think that they have to blitz Napoli and score 5 to get through. They trust the defence. They trust the attack. They all trust each other. They're a proper football team. Yeah. And I think that's so, so important. And it's the difference between Liverpool and Napoli tonight because they never really looked like they believed they were in the game at all.
Yeah, it's true. And for a few moments, I don't know whether people watching, whether these are picked up on the telly because it's weird. You don't realise what you miss out on. And I don't want to be one of them. I'm at the match, so I know what. I'm not. It's not that type of thing, but there's moments of Jordan Henderson and we talk about leadership and James Milner's barking orders on the pitch and you can see that. And there's a moment toward the end when we had the little injury problems and Jordan Henderson, Fabinho comes on and he grabs him and he's screaming in his ear and he's telling him where he needs to be because obviously his role has shifted because he's coming on for the other guy. And then we get Trent goes down injured and Keita's on and he grabs Keita and he's going, you go here mate, this is where you're me, I'm going to right back, so you've got to be. And like Keita, you can tell Keita's like not, and he's going like, he grabs him and focuses him, and I love that because that showed our maturity. And it was from Henderson, it was from Milner, in fact it was from the whole team in general. There was a real never say die attitude and a willingness to get that over the line because Liverpool might have capitulated there. And we can say we don't do it in Europe and you can say famous European nights all you want. That was a good team in a very finely poised situation. and the maturity shown by our team in that situation for the first time. And I said this week, Will, we look like a team that has learned from last season.
Yeah,
we've taken the defeat and we've taken the problems and we've taken the successes, and we're actually just a much better footballing outfit, as opposed to every other fucking time where we normally collapse the bits off the back of it.
And I think we're capable of responding to our own problems as well. So when we have the issues with like Sadio Mane not putting his chances away, and all the way through the season when the attack hasn't quite been working, the defence have just realised they're going to have to rise to the challenge. Yeah. And Jurgen Klopp as well, he's switched around his formation, he's played kind of systems that he's not entirely used to, he's taken risks with the players that he plays as well. You could have called tonight a risk as well. I'm sure there weren't, like you said, many people that would have put out that exact side, that would have gone with 4-3-3, a formation that hasn't really worked recently. But it is a team that entirely believes that it knows what it's doing, and like you said, it's because it's learned, it's because it's taken the good of what's happened last season and kept that going, and taken anything that wasn't quite perfect and worked on it. And some of that's down to signings, some of that's down to coaching. Yeah. Some of it's just down to players standing up and being counted.
It's fascinating because, as you said, 4-3-3 has not been great for us this season, but that was classic Liverpool from last season. The way we lined up, the way we approached the game, getting pressing, causing them guys, you know, pressing from behind. You know, it was a vintage Klopp Liverpool performance there. And what's great about it, and I said this, you know, we're now entering into the busy spell of the season, the winter part of the season, where you have to rotate. You can't put one team out twice a week for 6 weeks and expect to not fall to pieces. What we've done there is we've rotated in our best side from last season, and we've still got potentially there. You could bring in Fabinho, you could bring in Keita, you can bring in Shaqiri, all, albeit two of them obviously got some appearances there, completely fresh for the Man United game at the weekend. We've got so much strength and depth, so much quality and depth there, and we've now also shown that, well, we can play 4-3-3 against Man United here. And all of a sudden, we were playing, so we've gone from playing 4-2-3-1, playing 4-2-2-2, variations on 4-4-2. Nobody fucking has a clue what formation Liverpool are going to play. Nobody knows how Liverpool are going to line up now. And honestly, it's getting to the point where it doesn't really matter, because we're so good that we can make three or four changes and still put teams under pressure. The only things that take the shine off this with Man United looming, Will, is that James Milner having to go off is a blow, although yeah. I wouldn't necessarily expect him to have played three games on the bounce.
Absolutely
for us.
Absolutely not.
Trent having a little problem means that we're worryingly short. I, you know, it was done circumstantially. I do not want to see Dejan Lovren ever play right back for Liverpool, as much as he did a very good kick down the line. They are the things that do take the shine off this game somewhat.
Yeah, but I think the important thing is there's 5 days between this game and Man United. There's so much more time now yeah. than there has been for previous games. I think, I don't want to tempt fate or anything, but I feel like we've got through really the most congested patch of fixtures in terms of, I think, playing the Sunday against Everton, the Wednesday against Burnley, Saturday Bournemouth, Tuesday tonight.
Yeah.
That's probably the most congested it's going to get, apart from maybe at the end of December when we play Arsenal and then Man City afterwards. But I think we can rest players around that. I think Jurgen Klopp he's taken gambles with this, and tonight could potentially again be one of those gambles in terms of selection, in terms of rotating players in and out of the side. Apart from maybe the Joe Gomez injury, where, you know, we're going to have to struggle by getting through that, I think we've come out of it pretty well. You know, top of the league, through to the knockout stages of the Champions League. We can't really complain about everything. And the injury list, when you compare it to, like, I don't want to get too bogged down in other teams I want to talk about tonight's game, of course. But comparing it to like Man City's injury list, they're actually struggling at the moment. Yeah. They're missing Silva, they're missing De Bruyne. We've managed to get out of this with all of our best players intact.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's it. You know, it's a whole fingers crossed, especially for Trent for the weekend, like, and what have you. But obviously, it's a massive game of football coming up. But you're right, look, job done. You know, Liverpool, we are managing our squad, we are managing our way through the season. We're doing a brilliant job of it. And all of a sudden, you know, as you say, the context is provided by us being top of the league
yeah.
and getting out that group. Now, we'll see who we get in the next stage. Because, you know, second we finish in the group there, that is right. And so, you know, we should get the harder draw going into the last 16, but we shouldn't fear anyone, fine. And ultimately, we can switch off to that now. The league is the focus for me. I talked about the importance of the Champions League. I think it's important to always get out of the group. Always get out of the group. Always get to the knockouts. Give yourself a chance. The league has got to be the priority, but you've got this time now. You've got this spell. We've got the time to go. The league is the main focus. Let's make the league focus. We'll worry about the Champions League in February. And that's where Liverpool needs to be. So, you know, as much as I had a little wobble in last week, when I was thinking, no Europe at all gives us an opportunity to focus. Yeah. Well, look, we could have a cataclysmic January and we'll be begging for the Champions League to come back in February, you know what I mean? So, yeah. But Liverpool have played themselves into exactly where they want to be. We've got that place in the last 16. We're top of the league and the focus has got to shift to Man United. And I can't wait. I'm so, this is the most excited I've been to see Man United come to Anfield, because they've caused us so many problems here in recent years. But, you've got to believe with where we are right now, I'm not even asked about them or where they are. We're in such a rich vein of form. We've got such good depth and we've got such passion and confidence behind us that you've got to be confident.
I think we're built to take Man United down now, because we're, like I said, we're such a patient side as well. We don't feel like we're sort of, you know, rushing to get a goal. Yeah. Like those nil-nils against Man United the last couple of seasons, it always felt like we were just desperate to get a goal and yeah. we could never quite get through. But I feel like now it could be in 85 minutes still nil-nil against Man United and we can already think, you know what, this team is capable of still getting the goal. Yeah. And like you said earlier, with the way that we change how we set up, we play 4-4-2, 4-2-4, 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1. Jose Mourinho is probably tearing his hair out right now because he prides himself on being able to set up and stop certain systems.
Yeah.
But Liverpool are capable of switching things up. Even without substitutions, we can just... Jurgen Klopp can go up to his players and say, right, you change where you're playing, you go there. We're completely changing it round. And it's so important that we've got different players that can play different roles. It came in handy tonight when we brought Naby Keita on and he plays right wing, which he's never played for us before and I can't really see him ever playing again. But he did absolutely fine in it. And I think that's something that's so important about the players we've got.
Absolutely, very, very exciting. Well, listen, leave us your thoughts on that game in the comments below. If there's any instance from the match we've not discussed that you feel we need to pick up on, I will do. The Final Word Show, it's available as part of Freeview Week. It's normally behind the paywall on the redmentv.com. Tomorrow it is up on the YouTube channel. I'll pull a few comments in from the section into that show, so make sure you've got intelligence analysis and points in there, and I will get as many as I possibly can anyway. Drop a like on the video. Make sure you subscribe to LFC Focus as well on YouTube for a fantastic post-match video. And other than that, we'll see you all very soon. Ta-da.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.